Most of the best and worst poems ever written have been about love. There are the sonnets by John Donne and Shakespeare at one end, and whatever Rod McEwen or I might come up with closer to the other end. This next story is set in an adult learning center on Chicago's North Side. The poetry teacher, Susan House, usually keeps things fairly subdued, but one day, Cifredo Torres walked in. He was a former gang member working toward his equivalency degree. When his eyes met those of Diana Giraldo, sparks flew. Poems were written, but the critics reacted coolly.
We didn't notice that they were writing each other at first. So we were critiquing it like poems, you know, without, then we were totally oblivious to the fact that there was deeper communication going on here.
There's much beauty, okay. There's much beauty on this earth in staling trees and cloud full sky, but the greatest beauty is you in my heart.
Because the poems were very syrupy. Sometimes it's like wading through molasses. Cifredo used the phrase soaring above the clouds in beauty, and he kept using it every poem. Sometimes sunshine was added to it, and sometimes a bird or a flower would flutter through, but he was always above the clouds, you know, in beauty. And she picked it up, and then it was like a ping pong game where that phrase kept batting back and forth between them.
In your eyes, I see the beauty in our love, and I will always see that our beauty for our love for each other will be more than what we want. And I see our love in your face.
I regularly had to roll my eyes and say, let's write about something besides love. So then they started finding other ways to express themselves. Each week, the writing group, I give a word or a phrase or two. And so I told Cifredo, you have to use these words. You have to write about something other than this soaring above the clouds mess that you do. And so one week the phrase was chair, and I said, you must write about the chair.
I love you, my chair, my sweet. Your leg are so strong and thick. You hold my weight. I touch you. You excite me.
So he wrote a love poem to the chair, which I really learned, you know, let him write what he needs to write.
Your beauty gives me a burning desire, and I cannot wait to sit down again.
She went to Mexico in the summer for a month with her mother. And when she came back, we asked her to write about her trip. Now, she was born and raised in Chicago, so Mexican food is a problem for her. And we were all interested in why didn't she like the food in Mexico? What was different? And so we had her write about it.
In Mexico, some people like to eat food with a lot of hot peppers, and I like food with only a few hot peppers. When I came back home, my father was happy to see me.
And so she had this little summary of the food in the beginning of her story, and then went immediately to, when she got home, she called Cifredo.
When he came to my house, he was happy to see me, and I was very happy when I saw him. And when I saw him, I cried, and I gave him a big kiss.
She could not help herself. She just cried. And everybody was a little teary-eyed, you know. It was like, great, you know, they're together again. They survived this awful vacation. I know that their perfect attendance has something to do with them being able to see each other here. They can't date because he can't just go out at will. He's on probation, and he doesn't have the privilege of traveling wherever he wants to go. He has permission to go to school, to go to his group meetings, to go to his job, and that's it. So this is where they see each other. This is their relationship. This is where it happens. One evening, as people were coming in and signing in and getting settled down, people do gather around right outside of my cubicle in the evening. It's where the sign-in book is. It's a social time, and they came together, and they looked like a pair of cats that had eaten somebody's canary. You know, they were just full of something. And then he got the little box out, and he didn't read her a poem. He was very formal and just told her he loved her and asked for her hand in marriage. And of course, all their students and the tutors were standing around watching this. People just froze and watched. And she accepted, burst into tears, and he put the ring on her hand. You know, I think I was stunned. This is not what I normally see in an adult ed program. Normally we're very grim, you know. We try not to be, but people have goals. Maybe they're going to lose their job if they can't get certification or whatever. You know, it's a place where people try to make up for things they've lost in their lives, you know. It's hardly ever a place where just pure joy blooms. And people come here not just focused on themselves, but to enjoy Diane and Sofredo, and to be a small part of this big thing. As a teacher, anything that makes them write is good, you know. And their writing's improving, so what else could I ask for? With the help of the group saying, you know, find another way to say this. You don't have to repeat the word love 78 times in a 15-line poem, you know. It's a little more sophisticated, and it's changing. Diana wrote one where she just, in the course of the poem, shares the smell in the air of a room with him. Oh, yeah. It's a world away in sophistication from her first poem to him.
I'll never forget that empty barn, smell of dry hay, those long columns of dusty light. For one whole minute, you and I breathed the same breath.
Diana Giraldo and Sofredo Torres were married in August, with Susan House and their fellow poetry students in attendance. Amy Dorn and Alex Kotlowitz produced our story.